Job actually until after Christmas, if that's okay. I just want to share with you things that are on my heart that I believe the Lord would have me share with you. 2018, I mean, is nearly over with. I believe we probably have, 50, maybe 54 days left until we approach a brand new year. And, you know, it is this time in every year that I have always started praying about the new year before us, asking the Lord, what is the word for 2019? And that's basically a lot of my prayer time now in the mornings. And he's always faithful to give us the word for this year for this specific body. But there's some things I want to address to you that's very vital tonight. I wish the entire church was here. Maybe they'll listen to it online or however. But, you know, I'm going to say some things that to me, and I know to the Lord, are very, very important for you to be doing. Not because you're under the law, but because you're under the grace of God. Amen? You know, this year, if you have neglected your prayer time, if you've neglected your prayer time in 2018, may I encourage you to be obedient and to do something. Start immediately. I mean, start right now. Start in the morning and never neglect your prayer time again. Amen? Now, I'm certain on a Wednesday night, we're the faithful ones, right? It's a Sunday crowd we have to worry about, but no. But I know that I'm speaking to all of us tonight. It is easy at times to, you miss it one day and then you miss it the next day. You follow me. Listen, we don't want to do that. I'm telling you that we do not want to neglect our daily prayer time. Right now, we must start if you're doing so. You know, to be in prayer to neglect our prayer time, do you know what that really says? It says that we are dependent upon self and not dependent upon God. Listen, I don't know about you, but are you at the point in your life? I know I've been that way for many years. I'm sick of depending upon me. You know, I don't even want to make a decision without the Lord, you know? And not only that, don't neglect your prayer time, but if you have neglected Bible study, that's where you open the Bible each and every morning and you systematically go through the Word of God. Doesn't mean that you read an entire book in the morning, but it does mean that you perhaps read at least one chapter in the Word of God. And if you have neglected that, I encourage you right now to stop. Don't neglect it anymore. Start this very moment in the morning. Open up your Bibles to the New Testament. Start in the book of Matthew. Work your way through. Amen? You can go to the book of Proverbs, for example, in the Old Testament, 31 chapters. If you read one chapter of Proverbs each day, you can read through the book of Proverbs in 1 month. Therefore, you could actually read through it 12 times a year. So I encourage you to do that. And if you're spending time not reading your Bible and reading about the things of this world, which is passing away, you're going to be in trouble. You read the Word of God because the Word of God abideth forever. Amen? Read about the world that's coming that belongs to you because you're citizens of heaven. I beseech you, that's a very strong word, loved one, I urge you, whatever you do, make these priorities now. You say, Bill, why is that? Well, we're commanded to do those things. It's important to know God's word. You know, I told you at the beginning of the year, when God gave us the word for 2018, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, there from Malachi 3:10, speaking about the faithfulness of God. He is the faithful God. Amen? You know, that I said to you at the very first sermon, I said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what this church does in 2018 will also be for 2019. I told you then, and I even tell you now, that I said, I will not define what that meant because I don't know what it means. But I do know that there was an urgency in my heart when I believed the Lord spoke that to me. And so I'm telling you that we must be prepared for this year that we're moving into. I'm not for sure what that means, but I know there's an urgency in my heart to do so. If you neglect your Bible, how in the world will you ever fulfill Matthew 7:24? Remember what Jesus said? He said, he who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the floods came, and the winds came, and the storms came, and all the rest of those things came. But he said, that house didn't fall. He says, but the foolish man, he's the one who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. And you know what happened? All the floods, all the troubles of life came, and great was the fall of that house. The Word of God is the greatest thing you can put into your mind and into your heart. Amen? You know, the book of Job, when we get into the book of Job, a great book. Matter of fact, the last time I taught Job, I taught it, the theme was the happiest book in the Bible. I'm gonna stay with the same theme. I've never done that before, but when I go into the book of Job, because it is the happiest book in the Bible to me. But I'll tell you that whenever we get into the book of Job. But you remember what Job cried out in Job 23:11. He says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Listen carefully. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured God's words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. The word of God to Job was more important than his intake of his nutrition. Do you understand? Man, listen, that is something to be said, that he was more hungry for the things of God than he is for the things of this world, even eating. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's the only way you can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God wants you to know what his will is. If you don't renew your minds to the word of God, you'll never defeat the devil. You won't know how. You'll never know the will of God. You'll never know who God really is and how much Jesus loves you. Amen? Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live. Well, let me back it up. He said in the temptation scene to the devil, it is written. Actually, in the Greek, it is written and it stands written. It will always be written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we live. And if we neglect our Bibles, if we neglect our study time, if we neglect the Word of God, I promise you, you're going to be a very malnourished and very weak believer. Listen, when you pray, I'm not an expert on prayer. I have to discipline my body just like you do. Get up, set your alarm, get up when it's quiet, when no one is moving around. Get into a place that you know this is my special place. I'm alone with God. Don't turn your computer on. Don't turn your lights on. You don't need your lights. All you need is his light. Amen? Sit in your chair. Sit on the couch. Lay on the floor. I don't care where you go. Don't pet the dog and leave the cat alone. Do you understand? Find the Lord. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. He wants to communicate with you, and prayer is his chosen method. You know, prayer is a dialogue. And, you know, just 10 minutes in prayer is the greatest thing you can do in your day. To start your day off any other way is not to start your day off at all. Prayer is the work. Sometimes when you pray, loved one, you go before the Lord, and sometimes you don't say a word. You just know it's time to be still and wait upon the Lord. Amen? See, let him teach you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. But whatever you do, remember, you must have a prayer time beginning tomorrow. And that's 7 days a week. That's just not, well, I'm off on Sundays and Saturdays. No, it's a discipline. And you know what that discipline will do? As you discipline yourself, it'll turn into a joy. Because you're hearing God. You're being led by the Spirit. And you know when you walk out of that door or to your workplace, school, whatever it might be, you know that day you've communicated. And there's a certain peace that goes along with prayer. I don't know how to explain it. I just know it's true. Don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect the Word of God. Listen, the Bible, it tells us about the Word of God. In 1 Peter, remember 2:1, it says, therefore laying aside, meaning to cast away, get it away from you as quickly as you can. Therefore laying aside, let me read it to you, all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. Lay it aside. Why? Because there are things in all of our lives, if we're going to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are things in our life that we must eliminate. Do you understand? Eliminate that evil speaking if that's an issue in your life. If you have malice, it says eliminate it. Hypocrisy, get rid of it. Get it far from you. So we eliminate those things, and we do so not in our own strength, but in His strength. Not by our own will, but by our obedience, because God's power is living in us. Amen? And that's how we do that. And once we eliminate that, listen to what Peter says. And then as newborn babes, in other words, new brand new believers, he says, desire the pure milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The only way you're going to desire, that word literally means to crave or to be enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic about God's word, you have to eliminate certain things. And I just read what those things were. And you know why you eliminate them? Because as you go into God's word, God's word becomes a mirror to your heart. And as you read it, you go, oh, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. And if you don't eliminate it, you're going to close that book. Are you listening to me? That's what's going to happen. So we do that. And then it goes on and says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word taste, of course, always means to experience God's word. Did you know God wants you to experience His promises? Literally. The psalmist is written in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see, that's that experience, that the Lord is good. You know, the Bible tells us, and the psalm is written in Psalm 119. Remember, it says, oh, taste the word of God is sweet to my lips, remember? Oh, listen, we need to always be in the word of God. Now, listen carefully. If you are not prepared for 2019, you're not prepared for tomorrow either. If you're not prepared, if you are neglecting daily prayer, daily Bible study, you're not prepared. You're not prepared again for tomorrow or for 2019. And you're definitely not prepared if you don't really, truly understand God's love for you. You know, that's one of the greatest things in the world to know that God loves you. Amen? I mean that He really, really loves you. Listen, someone told me the other day, they said, you know, God doesn't love this person or that person and because of what they've done. And I said, what? Where did you hear that from? Show me that verse in the Bible. Well, I can't really show you. I mean, but He just doesn't. He hates it. I said, well, hey, God hates sin so much He allowed His own Son to go to the cross. Amen? But listen, you mean to tell me that if that person messes up, that God doesn't love that person? That's right. And I said, well, I don't like your theology because I don't find that in the Word of God. So you know what I did? I started thinking about that. I went back and I looked up the greatest, the worst, the most horrific sin ever committed in this entire universe. You know what that sin was? That was when one man and one woman living in a perfect, incredible paradise, a perfect environment, sinned. The greatest sin that ever sinned. And when Adam sinned like that, what did God do? You remember when God cried out in Genesis 3? What did God say? He said, oh, Adam, where art thou? Well, you know where Adam was. He was hiding. Why? That's what sin does. It causes even today men, women to hide from the living God. The fig leaf religion, if you will, okay? No, listen, loved one. You know, Adam's sin, it was so horrific that death spread to every person that was ever born. And not only that, they were born a sinner even though they had never sinned because they were in the federal head of the human race, which is Adam. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, therefore just as one man, meaning Adam, a sin entered the world, meaning the human race, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam's sin became all man's kind sin. Now listen to me. Do you think that's a horrible sin? I mean, for every person on earth to be born fallen, to be born a slave to sin, under the authority of the wicked one? Think about that for a minute. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Did God punish Adam and Eve? Yes, he certainly did. But was it God that came to Adam and Eve? They didn't run to him. Amen? It was God who came. Who killed the sacrifice to cover their shame? It was God. And surely it must have been when he clothed them with the coats of an animal. It had to be probably a lamb that died. The blood covered their sin. It was God who built the first altar. It was God who sacrificed the first one. They were forgiven, but did the consequences of their sin remain? Absolutely, and it still remains today. But here's the question. Did God stop loving Adam and Eve? No. No. Did God forgive Adam and Eve? Yes. Listen, whenever he cast them out of the Garden of Eden and set the cherubim there with the flaming swords and so they could never go back in, did God go out of the garden with Adam and Eve? Yes. Why? God loves them. Did God forgive them? God cleansed them. And after they walked out of the garden, heads hung down, what did God do? He gave Adam and Eve the greatest promise in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, about the Messiah who would bruise the head of the serpent. Amen? Listen, did God stop loving Adam and Eve? No, not at all. Noah. Go study your Bibles about Noah. Noah was a man who lived in two worlds. Think about that. He saw the old world that passed away, and he saw the new world. There he entered the new world, just eight people, he and his family. You know, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, what an incredible life. And yet, did you know that Noah had the greatest faith, I consider, of any man ever born anywhere on this planet? It says that God, it says by faith, Noah being warned or divinely warned of things not yet seen. He had never seen rain, didn't know how to build an ark, didn't know what an ark was, never seen a flood. And yet, what did he do? He took that axe, he went up to the mountain, cut down that gopher tree, started building an ark, which saved his entire family. Amen? Listen, I look at all of those things, and it says in the Bible that by faith, Noah condemned the entire world. Did you know that one man on that entire planet at that time, he was the only man right, Noah. Every person on the planet was wrong. He believed God and God was right and God will always be right. Amen? So what did Noah do when he entered into the new world? You know the story. He planted a vineyard. He got some grapes. He made a little wine and Noah got what? The first wasted man on the planet. What did God do? Did God kill him? No. Did God not love him anymore? No. God still loved Noah and God still worked through Noah. See, God never forsakes his people. Amen? Abraham. Abraham was called in the Bible a friend of God. Think about that. A friend of God. He's the father of the faith. You remember the story? Abraham, look up at the stars and see if you can count them. Look at the sands of the sea, because man, if you can do that, so shall your descendants be. And it says that Abraham believed. You know what Abraham believed? He believed God's word. So shall your descendants be. And it says it was accounted unto him as righteousness. He was in right standing with God. He became a believer in God. And after that, what in the world did he do? Well, you know the story. He tried to fulfill the promises of God through Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. And that produced a what? An Ishmael. And Ishmael is always a work of the flesh. And that, so we knew that was a sin. And not only that, and of course, the Ishmael, the tribe of Ishmael, still with us today, still causing a lot of problems today. Amen? Now, and not only that, did Abraham tell some lies? Yes. Sarah, just tell the people you're my sister, you know, that way we won't get killed, okay? No, listen, my question is this. With all that he did Abraham abandon God? I mean, did God abandon Abraham? Did God stop loving Abraham? No, not at all. Moses, God called Moses the meekest man on the earth. Think about that. Moses, Lord, show me your glory. Oh, Moses, what? Show me your glory, Lord. there in Exodus 33. Remember what God did? Okay, Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock because you can't see my face, even though it says in the book of Deuteronomy that no other man ever knew God like Moses, who knew God face to face. And it says that I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over your face, but when I pass by, I'll show you my afterglow, if you will. And you'll see my mercy, my goodness. What a man Moses was. But also Moses hid something himself, didn't he? Moses, was he a murderer? Yes, he was. He killed the Egyptian, hid the Egyptian in the sand. Moses, out of anger with the children of Israel, you know that he smote the rock once in Exodus and water came out of it. We know that rock was Christ. Then back over, what was it? I don't know, Numbers 20. And then the children of Israel were murmuring again. They needed water. And what did God tell Moses? He said, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. But Moses was angry. What did he do? He took his rod and he hit that rock twice. And, of course, water flowed out of it. But you know what happened after that. He was disobedient, wasn't he? The Lord looked and spoke to Moses, and Aaron was with him, his brother, the great high priest, if you will. And he says, you have profaned my name in front of my people. And for that, you will not lead the children of Israel into the promised land. What a horrible thing. Do you know what happened? Remember what happened after that? Moses had to take his own brother, I think it was up to Mount Hor. And you remember God said, you take off his priestly garments, the high priestly garments, the first high priest of Israel. Take them off. And then you place them on Eleazar, Aaron's son. There Moses, without a word, without an emotion, goes and he takes those garments and he puts them on Eleazar, Aaron's boy. And then Aaron dies in front of Moses. Was there consequences? Sin always has consequences. Amen. And what did God do to Moses? Did God abandon Moses? Did God forgive Moses? You go to the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. There is God, and there upon Mount Nebo, God is with Moses, and God tells Moses, Moses, look, look into the distance. There's the promised land. There's a land that I promised. You shall not enter it, but I want you to see it. Moses died there, and it says that God himself buried Moses. Did God abandon Moses? Did God not love Moses? Did God not forgive Moses? You should read Matthew chapter 17, because you know who appeared at the transfiguration of Christ? Moses and Elijah. Listen, God loves us. God loves Moses, loved one. Listen, that's so important. You take David. David was a man called, that. What did God call him? A man after my very own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the second king of Israel, Israel's greatest king. There was no one like King David. He was given one of the most, or the most incredible promise in the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12 and following. Remember when David wanted to build him a house, God said, oh, you can't build my house. No, you have blood on your hands. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you a house. And I'm going to put someone upon your throne and in this kingdom who will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What a promise. What an incredible, unbelievable promise. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of David, will come through his lineage. Amen. He's going to be given a name, Acts 4:12, a name that is greater than any name. There's no other name that can ever be given unto man under heaven by which you must be saved. Matthew 1:21, the angel said, you'll call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. He's given a name, the greatest name in the history of the universe, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day. And did you know when God made that promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7? Listen carefully now. It was an unconditional covenant that he made. It wasn't based upon David's faithfulness. It was based upon the faithfulness of God. Amen? Now listen carefully. I'm talking about, does God love you? Does God love me if you mess up? Not that we want to mess up, but does he stop loving us? When I was confronted with that question, I wanted to love the person. Did David sin? What did he do? In chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, God made that promise. Only a few chapters later, chapter 11 and 12, what did David do? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, sent him into the heat of the battle, let him die. He became a liar. Did God know that David was going to do those things? Yes, he did. He certainly did. Loved one, listen. Did God abandon David? Did God forgive David? Did David repent? Yes, he did. The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 3, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Well, we know the answer to that. No one. He says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Oh Lord, if you should mark iniquities. That word mark in the Hebrew is an accounting word. It means, okay, there's a sin. I'm counting them all. I'm adding them all up. I'm keeping this long, long record. Listen, here's the deal. God doesn't mark our sins. He blots out our sins. Amen? That's what our great God does. Did David's sin cost him? Horribly. Nathan told him, David, because that you've sinned, the sword will never depart from your house. Look at Absalom. Look at Amnon. Look at Tamar. Look at all how horrible and gut-wrenching the family became. His whole family turned against him. All the days of his life, the sword never departed from the house of David. But you know what? David sinned. Yes, it cost him, but I know this. God never for one second stopped loving David. It says in 2 Samuel 12:13, when Nathan came to him, David cried out. He says, listen, I've sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. And you know what Nathan said? Nathan said, David, the Lord has put away your sin and you shall not die. You know, in 2019, you better not neglect your prayer time. You better not neglect your Bible study time, or you will be unprepared. Unprepared, loved one. You can neglect a lot of things, but don't neglect those things. You remember Peter, when Peter denied the Lord there in John 13, and Jesus, you know, Peter said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You know, why can't I follow you? I'll follow you all the days of my life. Matter of fact, Lord, I'll even die for you if I have to. And I'm sure Peter would. What did the Lord say? Oh, Peter, most assuredly I say unto you that before the crows, it says that you'll deny me three times. The Lord knows everything, doesn't he? He knows absolutely everything. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus know Peter's weaknesses? Of course he did. Did he love him, though? Yes. Was Peter forgiving for denying the Lord those three times? Absolutely he was. Listen to me now. No, some of you are hanging your heads tonight. Maybe not here, maybe those that are listening live, I don't know. But you're thinking, God, I'm not going to, he can't use me because I've blown it. Or I can't, no matter what you have done, and we don't want to ever sin, but if you have sinned, no matter what you have done, listen to me, loved one, I'm telling you that when you go to the Lord and confess your sin, when you repent, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Amen. Oh, we need to always remember that. Are there consequences? Yes. Galatians 6:7, you know, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But listen to me, no matter how far down a person may fall, if you're in Christ, there is a way to get back up. Jesus Christ is the lifter of our heads. Amen. He doesn't want you to stay down there. He wants you to go up. Maybe tonight, you know, maybe you've been told the father of lies. Maybe he's been whispering in your ear, man, God doesn't love you. He'll never use you. You'll never amount to nothing. I know your secret sins. You're nothing but a loser. You're nothing but a failure. I want to tell you something. God loves you. God has always loved you, and he'll never stop loving you. Do you understand that? I'm not condoning sin. Of course not. That's ridiculous. I'm telling you, you better be prepared now. You've got to be prepared. Listen, I know with all of my heart that Jesus Christ, my Lord and your Lord, will never forsake you and never leave you. You know, there have been many times throughout the journey here at this church as a pastor. I've told you how many times I've gone and sat in that one chair, pulled out that one amplified Bible, and read this verse to me at least once a week. And I'll read it to you tonight because I hold on to it. I claim it as my own. It belongs to me. I keep it in my heart. I keep it in my mind. When the Word of God says in Hebrews 13:5, in the amplified version, it says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you." I believe that. Do you believe that tonight? I will not in any way fail you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. I will not in any way give you up or leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not. I love that one. Never relax his hold upon me. He has you so tight. Yeah, but Bill, I said, he has you so tight. But the devil's been, he has you so tight. No, he says, oh, assuredly not. Take comfort. Be encouraged. Confidently, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? Listen to me. God is love, and God's love cannot be changed by man's actions or by any action. Do you understand? Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God. I changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. He never changes. His love never changes. His grace never changes. His power never changes. His intercession for you never changes. Amen? Listen, Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. Why? Because Jesus knows everything. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Amen? See, listen to me, loved one. Jesus truly sees us just as we are, but he also sees us as what we will be. Now listen carefully again. If you are neglecting your prayer time daily, if you are neglecting your Bible study time every day, you're not prepared for tomorrow, and you're not prepared for 2019. You'll not be ready for what is coming. You'll not be ready. You'll not be prepared for the spiritual attacks that are on the way. You'll not be ready. And you'll feel them, you'll sense them, and you'll be disillusioned. You won't know which way to turn. You say, Bill, you're a negative person. I'm speaking to you the truth in love tonight. You discover things in prayer. You discover things when you pray. The Lord shows you things to come. He promised that in his word. We should be like the sons of Issachar who discerned the times and knew what Israel should do. We should discern the times and know what the church should be doing in light of this world. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, you're not prepared for 2019. You're not prepared for tomorrow if you don't know God loves you and how much he loves you. And also one more thing, you're not prepared unless you truly know and believe with all of your hearts that God has chosen you. He saved you. He has empowered you. He's given at least one gift unto you. And you're living right this very minute. This gift is living in you for this very moment in what we call time. Right this minute. Man, I think about that. Dear Lord, that each of us, we are God's workmanship. And we have been chosen before time ever began. Amen? Time ever began. And you know what? We've been chosen for this very moment that we're in right now. right this minute. God knew this day was going to be here. He didn't say, well, I don't know. Oh, God, look who was born. I didn't know he or she was going to come into the world. He knows absolutely everything. Now, listen, if God chose you, and he did, what type of people does God really choose? You know what I mean? What kind of people would you choose if you were going to entrust with the greatest message the world has ever known, the gospel of Jesus Christ? You follow me? Who would you go to? How would you equip them? How would you even know what to look for? What type of character to look for? Are you in Luke's gospel yet? Did I tell you to turn to Luke? I didn't. Well, it's in Luke chapter 6. I told you I'd be there in about an hour, didn't I? Well, it's Wednesday night. Wednesday, I have a right to be tired. Sunday morning's different. Now, go to Luke with me. I'm in Luke chapter 6, and I want you to look at only a few verses. Look, and let's begin in chapter 12, okay? Watch this now. And it came to pass in those days when Jesus went out to the mountain to what? No, I'm going to stop right there. If Jesus had to go and pray, why would we say we don't need to pray? Amen? Are y'all with me tonight? Okay. Now watch. Jesus went out into the mountain to pray, and look how long he prayed, and continued all night in prayer to God. Isn't it amazing that the men that Jesus was about to choose came through the power of prayer to God the Father? He prayed all night seeking, and here Jesus is God, yet he prayed all night seeking, oh Lord, who are these people? Who do you want? He prayed all night, and look what it says, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them, meaning there were so many followers, so many disciples, he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. In other words, one who is sent on a commission. Now question, did Jesus know each and every person there? Did he know their hearts? Did he know their weaknesses? Did he know their secret sins? Did he know their future sins? He selected them, didn't he? Frail men. God chose frail men. And you know what? If you study out, do you know that these men never truly had a title or never had had a title in their entire life? Tax collector is not a title. Zealot is not a title. Fisherman is, you understand what I'm getting at? Those are not really titles. He said, oh no, you're going to be named apostles. And think about the names now that we're getting ready to look at quickly. I want you to think about something. I marvel because Jesus went to pray. Now listen, the men that God chose from eternity, they all had to be born in the one country, Israel. Did you know Israel's only the size of New Jersey? They all had to be born right there at the right time in the right nation, and they all had to be Jews. Think about that. And there they are, out of all the people in the entire world to change this world, to entrust a message to. What did he do? He chose 12 men. Let me ask you a question. Do you think for one second any of those 12 ignorant, they were not learned people, do you think that they for one second thought, yeah, one day I'm going to grow up and God's going to come to the earth, be a man, 100% God, 100% man. And you know what? He's going to choose me to walk with him for 3 years, 3.5 years. Do you think they ever thought that? Of course not. But God says, I thought that. I chose them. And he says, and here's one of them, Simon, you know who that is. That's Peter, okay? And it says, and Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, and so forth. So he prays all night, and he ends up choosing a what? A Peter, a fisherman. Think about that. Would you have chosen Peter, a loudmouth, an impulsive person? Come on. No. I mean, Peter, I mean, Peter was like, when I was growing up, my grandmother called my brother, my little brother, who's now home with the Lord. He said, Wayne, you're like a bull in a china closet, you know? And in other words, everywhere he went, he broke stuff. You understand? I mean, he could just look at you and stuff would start breaking, okay? He was a big guy, my brother, bigger. Oh, I mean, when I was a little, oh, it doesn't matter. I had to wear his clothes and I was older. I mean, you know, he got the new clothes, I got his old clothes. I hated that. But I'm still in counseling. I'm all right. Now, so here he is. You know, he denied the Lord. Peter, the water walker. Think of all the things that he did. I mean, think about that. Peter, who he was the one who was found sleeping when the Lord needed him most in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet, you would have, if Peter had not followed the Lord, think about everything that he would have missed. Oh, Lord. Do you know that Peter would have never been involved in the changing of one person's life? There would be no 1 Peter, no 2 Peter. There would be no first sermon preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved. He would have missed everything. His shadow would have never healed anyone. But God chose him. Arrogant, impulsive, loudmouth, always talking. And then Andrew, that was his brother, loved one. You remember Andrew? Man, what a great man. I love Andrew. Andrew was, every time you find Andrew in Scripture, he was always bringing someone to Jesus. Then the two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Oh, that was a pair for you. What did Jesus give them the nickname? What was it? The sons of thunder. Do you know why? They were both hotheads. Do you understand? They had an anger issue, both of them. You know, man, you don't. Even the Lord told him, "Golly, you know, I'll send some fire down, Lord, from heaven. Let's cook these people, barbecue them." You know, Jesus, man, you don't know what spirit you are of. And then John, oh man, I love John, don't you? John, the apostle of love, leaned upon the breast of Jesus, heard the heartbeat of God at the Lord's Supper, entrusted with Mary, the mother of Jesus, there at the cross, wrote the book of Revelation. From the island of Patmos into the heavenlies. Oh, man. He would have missed it all, and God chose him to live that kind of life. And you go through with James. Of course, James, John and James. James was the first martyr. Herod cut his head off with a sword. I think that's in Acts chapter 12. Think about that. And then, of course, you have, it says in verse 14 again, then Philip, you know Philip, he's the one that says, "Oh, Lord, show us the Father," and all that. And then Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot. The zealot, that means he was a hater of Rome, okay? He was a revolutionary. I mean, would you choose a tax collector? They were the most hated people in all of Israel, and yet God chose them. How about Thomas, the doubter? Would you choose someone like that? Well, I'm not going to believe unless I give me the nail prints in his hands. Let me see him. I'll put my finger in there. You know what the Lord did. He showed up. Oh, and said, "Hey, Thomas, the resurrected Lord, remember? You know, here, put your finger, see my hands, put your finger in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Loved one, listen, God chose all these people. Of course, we know that he chose Judas, and then he chose another one called Iscariot, who became a traitor. He was a thief. Jesus said, "I know that I've chosen 12, and one of you is a devil." He betrayed the Lord because he was a lover of money. He sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now listen carefully. Were these men chosen by God? Were they chosen to change the world? Absolutely. Did you know, if you look at the kind of people, the men that Jesus chose, did you know that not one of those men, not one of them, came out of the religious world? There was not one rabbi, not one priest, not one scribe, not one Pharisee. There was not one scholar. They had absolutely nothing to offer. And you know what? Neither do we. However, when he chooses you, he's chosen you for a reason. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many are wise or called according to the flesh." God doesn't need our wisdom, in other words. "Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised," or literally considered as nothing. God has chosen them. "And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." God chooses the most unlikely people, and then he does great things through them. When he sees you, he loves you. I think the angels of God marvel as they look at every Christian and they say, why doesn't he have a quiet time? Why don't they read their Bibles? Why don't they know who they are? Why don't they walk in the Spirit? Why aren't they led by the Spirit? Why don't they walk in the power and the blessings that have been given unto them? I believe that. Oh, loved one, listen to me. They all had faults. We all have faults. They all had character flaws. We all have character flaws. But I'll tell you what I've learned, and you know it as well, that God takes nobodies and he turns them into somebodies. He takes tax collectors and prostitutes. He takes a woman who's been married five times and shacked up with an old boy, and he uses her. She became the first evangelist, actually, woman, to go into the village and call the men. Listen to me. They were chosen by God. God filled them with power. And you know what happened? They changed their world. And God doesn't need our talents. He doesn't need our ability. He doesn't need our wisdom. But I tell you what he does need. He needs those that he's chosen. With all of our faults and all the problems and all of that, I'm going to ask you a question. Jesus, when he chose us, did he know that we're messed up? Of course he did, but he changed us, didn't he? Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The Bible tells us that Jesus knew us inside and out. Ephesians 1:4, what does the Bible tell us? Just as he, meaning God, chose us in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I've said it so many times, you know as well as I do, that God chose us before the world ever was, before the first sunsets, before the first sunrise, before the first fish flopped in the ocean. He chose you. And I have always said, when I quote Ephesians 1:4, your name is as old as God, and God is eternal. He has had your name before the world was ever created. Amen. I think about that and I said, oh God, you're so good. You see, Jesus said in John 15:16, he said, you didn't choose me. Oh yes, I did. No, you didn't. Well, I ask him to come into my heart. Yeah, well, he chose you. And he's appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, much fruit, and that whatever you ask the Father in his name, that he will give unto thee. Loved one, listen to me. There's no one like Jesus. We are a generation, and we're the only plan that God has for reaching the lost of this world. That's why he chose us. To go into all of the world. We have the same gospel as the 12. We have the same power. We're all empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, loved one, we're authorized to go and so forth. Now listen to me. If you are neglecting your Bible study time, if you're neglecting prayer, if you don't know that God loves you, if you don't know that God has chosen you, you are unprepared for tomorrow, and you are unprepared for 2019. Unprepared. If you don't know God loves you, 1 John 3:1, behold, what does it say? Behold, my mind went blank, but I hate that when that happens. Don't you, Kevin? Somebody tell me, what is it? Thank you. Behold what manner. That word, what manner, is one word in the Greek. That means behold what manner of love, meaning a manner of love that is foreign to this earth, a love that can only come from heaven. Behold what manner of love God has bestowed. That word means lavishly bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The love that he has poured out on each of us. Listen, God chose you. And I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me. And God, if you are a born-again believer, God chose you. And listen to me now. And he will never change his mind about you. Never. You have to have that into your heart. Jesus said in John 10:28, he says, and I give, not will give. He says, I give eternal life. They shall never perish. Did you know that's a double negative in the Greek? It should read, I will never. He says, they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. There's not a stronger word in the Word of God. When Jesus saves you, he doesn't halfway save you. He saves you completely. And whatever God starts, he finishes. Psalm 138, verse 8, he will perfect those things which concerneth you. Philippians 1, 6, he who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ. We can be confident in that. He's going to finish. Loved one, listen. Jesus said in John 10, 28, Jesus says, I give. It doesn't say no work for it. It doesn't say, I got to earn it. Eternal life is a gift. Listen to me. If eternal life is conditional, it's not eternal. Do you understand? Oh, no. Jesus said, they shall never sin. No, he didn't say that. They shall never backslide. No, he didn't say that. Am I saying, Bill, it's okay to backslide? Of course it's not. He said, no, but I'll tell you this. My children, the ones that I've chosen, the ones that belong to me, the one that God my Father loves and has given them unto me as well, they shall never, no, never, no, never, they shall never perish. Listen, that is a promise from Jesus Christ, and it can never, listen to me, it can never, no, never, no, never be broken. Never. God cannot lie. Now, my question is, 54 days away. Are you prepared? You're prepared right now. You know exactly what you have to do. You have a prayer closet. You have a Bible. Also, you need to know that God loves you, that God chose you. Listen, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you are the most unprepared person in the universe. In the universe. You're unprepared to meet God, your Maker. You're unprepared to stand before him. You're unprepared for death if you do not know Christ. So, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, if there is any person in this chapel, as our heads are bowed and every Christian is fervently praying, if there's one person tonight, if you say in your heart that Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You can right now. You can be prepared, because if Jesus is not your Lord, you're unprepared. You can come to him because he loves you. He died for you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. Never. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? How do I make Jesus the Lord of my life? Well, first of all, it just starts out with faith. You just lift your hand. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come to this altar. You just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And just put your hand right back down. So if that's you, you're in this chapel tonight. You want Jesus, the one who loves you and died for you, to be your Lord. Why don't you just lift your hand high and put it right back down, and we will pray. Last call, I'll not ask again. If there's a tug upon your heart, please lift it high and put it right back down. God bless you. I see that. That's right. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Quickly, anyone else before I pray? You that lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, I want you to help me. Father, I come to you now. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You made this promise, Father. If I would confess Christ and truly believe, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. We give you thanks tonight, Father. For the rescue taking a person out of Adam and putting him in Christ Jesus. There's no one like you. And one day we will see you. And when we do, Father, we're going to be like him. The one who died for us, the one who saved us, the one who's coming for us. We give you praise tonight. And Lord God, help the saints of God. Let us no longer neglect what's important. Let us stop being undisciplined in prayer and Bible study. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? You want to stand to your feet with me tonight? We're going to close with a song like we always do. We're going to open up the altar after the song is over for prayer. Those that lifted your hands, listen. There's going to be we have a booklet down here called Welcome to the Family of God. They just want to give it to you, put it into your hands. Maybe tonight you're listening live. You prayed that prayer too. If you'll just simply email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address, which will never be put on a mailing list. That book will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning. God is so good. Amen. Prepare your hearts now for 2019. I'm telling you, it's a different time. It's a different time. And there's a lot that I could say, but I can't. I just would be afraid to say it until I have the New Year's word. But boy, what a word he gave us this year. Amen. Dear God, and how he gave it and what he did to bring it to pass. Unbelievable. I love you with all my heart. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so
bless you and keep you. Let's give him thanks as we leave tonight.